summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Joe. Let's start with the Bank of Japan, because that's likely to be a more interesting meeting as markets are quite divided on whether the central bank will ease on Friday. What do you think? Which camp are you?
Well, I think the central bank will be dovish. I'm not sure they're going to ease any more where they are right now. I think the big thing in Japan is the kind of the fiscal side, the fiscal stimulus that the Abe government has now with a supermajority in parliament. So I expected some dovish comments from the Bank of Japan, a further weakening of the yen to a degree, but no big bang really out of Japan this week.
Well, Governor Haruhiko Kuroda said that the bank saw no need to stimulate the economy with helicopter money. That's dashed some hopes there. But when it comes to the fiscal perspective, what you talked about with Prime Minister Abe, so far we haven't had much details about this large spending package the government has announced. Do you think that could put a dampener on investors who are hoping for more of a direction from both the government and the Bank of Japan?
Oh, yeah, I think it will be a dampener if there isn't any details about the fiscal plan. You know, the Bank of Japan, everyone knows they're easing ultra-monetary policy. You know, they could go negative some more with interest rates. But all investors are waiting to see the fiscal side. And they're going to stay on the sidelines or be very cautious with Japan until then. Because we've seen this before. Weak growth, weaker currency, waiting for policy, and it doesn't come. And then we relapse.
And how closely are you watching the dollar-Japan cross, the yen-dollar cross?
Watching it very carefully because there's a lot of protectionist pressure here in the United States in and around currency, Japan, China, obviously front and center. So, and also watching the yen because, you know, if the Japanese are just going to weaken the yen and think it's going to fix things, it's not. We've been here before. It helps a certain cohort of exporters, but it doesn't help the real economy. So that's key to watch.
What's your portfolio like with Japan? Are you underweight Japan at the moment?
Well, we're neutral on the developed markets, Japan included, but I do like the robotic manufacturers in Japan. You know, Japan is like a company sector specific. I wouldn't buy Japan outright, given all the demographics, slower growth, and so forth. But when it comes to robotics, artificial intelligence, they're doing very well, and I think that's where we're putting money to work.
Okay, well, coming back to the other central bank meeting, the Federal Reserve is going to be meeting this week. Widely expected that they will stand pat on interest rates. But when you look at market expectations for at least one rate rise this year, it surged by nearly sixfold compared to the post-Brexit low. What do you think have gotten investors more hopeful on the Federal Reserve moving?
Well, number one was that blowout employment number we had last go around. So I think investors will be looking for another big job increase next week, not this week. But, you know, we've had good retail sales, good housing starts, the leading economic indicator has improved. So there's a lot of improving macro numbers here in the United States, including good earnings, that is suggestive or supportive of a rate hike, one more rate hike. But it's certainly not this week. It's going to be more like September or December at the earliest.
So at least one, Joe, you're thinking?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're looking for one rate hike, probably after the election, probably in December.
All right. Well, what do you think this will mean for the dollar then? If you look around the world, central banks are signaling that they will cut rates. So the monetary policy divergence and the impact to the dollar, in your view?
Well, I think it could, you know, we're kind of back to where we are at the beginning of the year. Remember, the Fed said they're going to hopefully raise rates four times this year while the rest of the world was on hold or reducing rates. So I think the dollar's got a bit here. I think the dollar's going to get stronger over the next 3, 4, 5 months on the expectation that the Fed goes at least one more time while the rest of the world stays in this negative interest rate band that they're in. So that divergence will become more apparent, I think, as we go deeper into the summer and into the fall. So watch for a stronger dollar.
Should we also be watching for this stock market rally to continue? Because U.S. equities hitting record highs one day after the next. The question on most investors' mind now is just how far this rally can resume. Or do you think, Joe, that we're kind of getting closer to correction territory here?
Well, I mean, I'd be careful what you own. If you own consumer staples and utilities, very expensive, very lofty valuations. I do think the summer rally continues, but as we September and October are very volatile months in the equity markets here in the United States. And then also you're going to have a headwind from the election, a lot of uncertainty. It's a close race, a lot of worries about protectionism, foreign investment pulling back. So if I was sitting in Malaysia and I'd made some money on U.S. equities in the last 2 or 3 months, I would take some profits.
All right. Well, taking a look at earnings, more than 190 of the S&P companies are expected to report their results this week. You've got big names, Apple, the Alphabets, the Facebook and Amazons of the world, all on the earnings calendar now. Looking back at the second quarter, how do you think the tech industry performed, Joe?
I think they did pretty well, all things considered. I think top line growth will be there. Not for everyone, but and when you look at technology, social media, mobility, connectivity, it continues to expand here and abroad. And then also with a lot of these tech shares, there's been a lot of share buybacks. Companies have been buying up their shares very aggressively. I think that's going to continue. I don't think Brexit is a big issue for technology in the sense that, you know, UK is important, but it's not the technology driver globally. So we expect some good earnings. There'll be some misses, but we're overweight technology. Buy technology on the dips.
So what would be the headwinds for technology? If Brexit is not a consideration, what would be?
I think one would be just increased competition from the likes of, say, China. I mean, Apple's facing increased competition. Then when you talk about Google and Facebook, it's just being able to expand in overseas markets. It's tough to do business in Europe for Google. It's tough to do business in India and China for Facebook. So I think the global regulatory environment is something I'm watching very carefully because it could impinge or hinder the growth of these big, large-cap U.S. technology companies.
Well, very quickly, let's touch on oil, Joe, because it's back under $44 per barrel. It's keeping at its two-month low levels. What happened to that nice $50 per barrel rebound we saw not too long ago?
Well, I think oil prices got a little bit ahead of themselves. I don't think we break below 40. It doesn't surprise me we had a pullback. The market's always trying to find the equilibrium. I think the equilibrium is between 45 and 55. Demand is pretty good, you know, say like nominal demand 5%. And we're seeing a lot of production come off, you know, whether it's Nigeria, Venezuela, Brazil, Iraq, Iran. The production numbers aren't there. So it doesn't surprise me we pulled back. I think the traders bid up the cost of oil too far, too fast. But now we're settling into that $45, $50, $55 range. And I think that's kind of where we're going to be for the rest of the year.
All right. Always a pleasure speaking with you. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America, Private Wealth Management in New York.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar, just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.